was made of magic and moonlight. With you I danced all night in a dream that ended too soon. The world back to me then, all blended into the theme.
It was a city of enchantment, of frivolous ease and sophisticated gaiety, and at the same time a city of colorful contrast. For the upper classes, life rolled by as easily as the elegant carriages on the Champs-Élysées. Across the river beyond the ancient cathedral of Notre Dame existed the people of France. And up on Montmartre was the gaslit world of entertainment and rose-colored vice. The chestnut trees in bloom along the Champs-Élysées. And rolling past, in a smart carriage, that utmost in femininity, the chic Parisienne. Her frilly parasol open, her daintily gloved hand pointing out to her companion the sights of the passing parade.
Oh, what a lovely day, ma chère cousine. It must be a sunny relief after Boulogne. How can you live in any city except Paris? Woman's perfect setting. Just look around you. The Champs-Élysées. On our right, the house of an Orleanist baron whose dinners are the most studiously distinguished into Paris. And on our left, the Palais de Glace, where aristocracy skates next to the demi-monde. And don't they both enjoy it? The Duc de Marny bumping elbows with the actress Polaire, and the dancer Otero bumping something else with Bonnie de Castellan. Oh, look, darling, look, 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 look. The pony chaise with the high steppers. That is the fabulous Liane de Pougy, breaker of hearts and of bank accounts. She is looking so well since her suicide. A suicide? It did her no end of good. The Veronal made her sleep for 48 hours. When she came to, she had an attack of nausea, which cleared her entire system, and she emerged pale, but lovelier than ever. As the Figaro commented, suicide has an excellent effect upon these delicate natures. They don't die, but they do purge themselves. But, oh, what lives such creatures must have to lead. Night after night, to have to be seen at Maxime's. And, of course, what they have to do when they're not being seen. Not for all the gold in the transport. I prefer the slavery of married life. Not that any woman of Paris could ever be a slave, especially if she could manage her 4 to 5. Her 4 to 5, my pet. The hour of the rendezvous. Oh, certainly. It's as long as any rendezvous should ever last. No time for any deep felt emotions, which are so bad for the facial muscles. A charming and practical game of love without love. Oh, plenty to be gained. The deliciously morale-building fact that one has a lover. And nothing is more becoming. What's the quotation? A mouth that's continually kissed never fades. Do I shock you, country cousin? Virtue? Oh, how sweet. Chérie, woman's virtue is man's greatest invention. But since you're such a lover of virtue, look. Look there ahead of us. The Cathedral of Notre Dame. It is impressive, isn't it? Though one really should see it at night. By moonlight, the statues seem to come to life. One might almost imagine one of the angels gossiping.
Saint Marcel, you feel like talking? Saint Jack, are you aware? Oh dear, how dull. Is everyone fast as stone? Who spoke? Is that you, Saint Stephen? So you're aware. I'm so glad. Everybody else seems to be fast astone. It's too lovely a night to be a stone. There's a beautiful moon. The river looks like the old Roman highway turned to silver. I'd much rather stone during the day, not have to look at the sightseers. And then at night, stay away. I do love my niche. I get such a good view of everything that goes on along the river. I can watch it for centuries and never be bored. You miss it, having your back turned. Pity you can't change niches with St. Denis here. Any views lost on him? The way he stands there holding his dissevered head in his hands. Did he really, after he was executed, walk about Paris that way? Seems silly, doesn't it? I mean, if he could have done that, why couldn't he have stuck it back on again? The gargoyle's in a terrible mental state. Haven't you heard that noise he's been making? That whoo, whoo, whoo. That's no owl. That's the gargoyle. His nerves are all to pieces. The tourists, they laugh at him and call him hideous. And the Americans scratch their names and addresses on his back, which tickles him horribly. There's no getting away from annoying people. Not only people. I see the pigeons are nesting again in the King of Judah's crown. I don't wonder he's annoyed. I had a nest on my shoulder last March, and for weeks I was simply drenched with blasphemy. Have you noticed how cranky St. Genevieve is lately? She says that Paris is so sinful these days. I don't think Paris is any more sinful now than it ever was or ever will be. It's like the river. It's there. And everybody sees it his own way. Some lights are still on in the houses along the quay. There's a laundress finishing her ironing. There's a man and woman counting money. There are two women students reading books. American women students. They're funny. It's growing early, Stephen. We'd better be going back to stone. Thank you.
called for and delivered. Blanche,
oh, Maître Charlot, ça va? Ça va. How's the song business, Master Charlot? You ought to sell a lot of sheet music today. Bright, sunny morning like this, everybody wants to sing. Oh, bon, sir, I just love a sip of your bock. Saving most of my beer drinking for tonight, though. My fellow's taking me out. Moulin de la Galette. It's the people's night there. Oh, I just love the people's night. Anybody in all of Paris can get in for 1 franc. A fellow's making good money. Almost 5 francs a day. What with the 2.5 I make, we'll be able to get married pretty soon. Oh, bon, sure, we're going to get married. Maybe even before the baby's born. We're both very respectable people. Oh, my goodness. I must tuck this petticoat back in the basket before it falls out. If it gets dirty, I'll never be paid. It's pretty, isn't it? A blonde in a cute little flat over there on the quay. Her husband's gone on a business trip to Lyon, and she insists she needs this today. Je ne sais pas. C'est pas mon affaire. Oh, and look here for a contrast. This long underwear. This belongs to a lady. An American lady. One of those intellectual ones. A school teacher from Boston, Massachusetts. Lives on the second floor of that same house with another school teacher from Boston, Massachusetts. They're queer ducks. Imagine wearing a thing like this. Whoo, what a ceinture de chasteté. Not that she'll ever need any. She'll never land a man. Well, I'd better deliver all this. If I'm late, they don't give me any tip. Every sou counts for the baby. Thanks for the swallow of Bach, Maître Charlot. Hope you sell a lot of songs. Got any new ones? I see a copy. Oh, you mean I can have it? Oh, thanks. How does it go? Turn my little mill wheel. Song by Maître Charlot dedicated to the mill wheels of Montmartre. Ooh, ça c'est du propre. Le moulin de la galette, hein? Oh, say, this is cute. Start it again, and I'll sing it along with you. When the morning sun is shining on the blooming jasmine tree, then I sing a song to baby of his daddy out at sea. Turn, oh, turn my little mill wheel till tomorrow. Turn for me. My papa was once a sailor. As for me, I watch all day. Till my baby's fast asleep, I dream of my man far away. Turn, oh, turn my little mill wheel, turn for just another day. Rock-a-bye, my pretty baby, here's a song to make you gay. When your dad gets home from sea, we'll be married by the good Curé. Turn, oh, turn my little mill wheel, turn for just another day. Turn my little mill wheel, turn my little mill
It's going to be a perfectly lovely day. Oh, I am so glad we've decided to do the Luxembourg. The gardens will be absolutely sparkling. Our lunchbox, no, it's all ready. I put everything in. You know, Agatha, I wish someday we could be true bohemians. Take along a lunch of French bread, cheese, and a bottle of wine. Instead of Peter's chocolate, mineral water, and educator crackers. French bread can't all be covered with germs. People here seem to thrive on it. Couldn't we build up an immunity too? Oh, dear, sometimes I wonder if it's worthwhile being so antiseptic. You know, I'm I'm taking along my crocheting, too. You laugh at my crocheting, Agatha, but I find it soothing to the nerves, and I do think antimacassars are always a welcome gift. Well, nobody, especially, although I had thought Professor Bacon might appreciate a set. Maybe that is a foolish idea. Just the same, crocheting does quiet my nerves. I wish I didn't have nerves. I'd give anything to attain your intellectual detachment. Why are you putting on your rubbers? The sun's out. I'm not going to wear mine. I hate rubbers. Even when it's raining, I hate them. Just because you wear yours doesn't mean I have to wear mine. Must we always do things exactly alike? Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean that. You believe I didn't mean it, don't you, Agatha? I think I must be tired, need a tonic. It's all this hard work and never letting up, and all for a Ph.D. Oh, I didn't mean that either. Oh, I know it's the most important thing in the world for both of us. Oh, I know how unusual it is for a woman to be a Ph.D. I wonder if Professor Bacon will congratulate us. Oh, how ridiculous. I'm not sweet on him at all. And even if I were, what would be the use? Oh, I didn't imply anything by that remark. Oh, dear. Seems to me we're both so touchy lately. So foolish to be touchy these perfect spring days, when Paris smells so deliciously of lilacs and acacias. Oh, Agatha, how could you bring up the drains? You are a realist, and it's awfully clever of you. Try as I will, I can't make myself a disciple of Zola. I'm afraid there'll always be a soft spot in my heart for Mr. de Maurier. Oh, I keep seeing his carriages everywhere. Taffy and the Laird and those delightful Ibbotsonites. We never seem to have the opportunity of meeting any young men like them. Well, I can't help feeling it would be part of our European experience to make the acquaintance of some nice, studious Frenchman. I can't believe all Frenchmen have diseases, Agatha. You never seem to feel the need of any masculine companionship, but, oh, I don't know. You'd think that during this sabbatical year of our... Oh! Oh, how awful! Down there, on the quay, right in front of the little cafe, our laundress, she just pulled either yours or my union suit out of her basket and showed it to the old song vendor. And she pointed up here, and they both laughed. Don't look at them. They think we're ridiculous frumps. And that's just what we are. We're precious intellectuals and dowdy, ridiculous frumps. And all your brainy talk won't convince me that we're not. I'm not hysterical. I'm scared. I'm plain scared. I've been scared ever since last February when one of the children in my class sent me a dreadful, dreadful Valentine. It was meant to be funny, I guess. It was a horrible picture.
Of a horrible old maid schoolmarm.
Don't laugh at me, Agatha. I can stand anything but you're laughing at me. I'm afraid of you when you laugh at me. I can't help it. Some feelings simply can't be controlled. It's weak, I know, but don't despise me for it, Agatha. I couldn't bear your contempt. What are you doing? You're not going out. You're not leaving me here in this state. Oh, no, Agatha. I'm sorry. I didn't mean it. It's just my nerves. Please, Agatha, wait for me. Don't go without me. I'm coming right along. I'll do anything you want me to. I'll even wear my rubbers. And I'll help you on with yours. I'll put
them on for you. Hold out your foot. I'll put them on for you. Only don't leave me, Agatha. Don't ever, ever leave me.
Not even dressed. But come in, quick, close the door. Those ladies across the hall, they must not see me speak to an Englishman in my negligee. American school teachers, they think the worst of every French woman. And you too will think the worst of me. I truly never believe you will come, otherwise I will be dressed. Oh, quelle disgrâce. It's only yesterday you meet me. You do not even meet me. Oh, what sort of a meeting is that? You are walking in the bois. I go past you in my carriage, and you look at me. I did not look at you. I look at you looking at me. I did not smile. Well, not to you. At you, peut-être, as one may smile at, oh, je ne sais pas, an amusing object. You are a British object. It's always amusing. But if I have known that 5 minutes later my carriage break down, I will not even have smiled at you. Oh, such a stupid accident. All the fault of that ridiculous Herbert, my coachman. He should have made examen of the wheel. He should have known it would come loose. When my husband returns from Lyon, I shall tell him he will give Herbert his congé. Oh, no. Oh, I shall not tell him that. Ooh. If ever my husband find out I allow a man to speak to me, even an Englishman, ooh, la la. No. I shall tell him the carriage break down. That while Herbert fix it, I am obliged to sit on a bench for 1 hour. I do think it was an enchanting hour. It enchants me into doing something I never believe I will do. To give to a stranger my name and address. Ah, but you are a stranger, and please now, you will leave. Oh, pardon, monsieur, is no rendezvous. I merely tell you I am home every afternoon between 4 and 5, and that my husband has gone on a business trip to Lyon. And you arrive so early. Well, I am still in my negligee. Oh, I feel like a cocotte. Oh, but to every Englishman, every Parisian is a cocotte. How can I believe you? There is nothing you could give me. Your ring? Oh, jamais de la vie, is a diamond ring. And such a big, big diamond. If ever my husband see it, what will he do? It's very simple. He will strangle me. Oh, no, monsieur. Never could I accept such a thing. Well, just to amuse, I can put it on for only the time that you are here, because you may remain for only a few minutes, and I must go get into my dress. Oh, quelle impudence! Of course you may not watch me. There, you see, you do think I am a bad woman. Otherwise, you will never suggest anything so wicked until you know me better. Oh, at least 2 weeks. Tomorrow. Mais pourquoi? Why should anybody go to England ever? Ah, non, monsieur. No, 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 no. No, 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 no. Oh, no, 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 no. Oh. Écoutez, monsieur, écoutez. I am a good woman. Always I have been faithful to my husband. How can I believe you are sincere? You know I cannot keep on going. You're stepping. But that too is diamond. How am I to explain to my husband a diamond stick pin? Unless I put it in the little écrin where I keep the miniature of my mama. Oh, the diamonds, how brightly they shine.
Monsieur, just because you remove your stick pin is no reason you should also remove your necktie and collar. Shh! Somebody's coming up the stairs. He's perhaps the man to fix the gas. I will bolt the door, he will think nobody is here, and go away.
Oh! A key in the lock! He's my husband. He will kill you. He will kill me too.
Killa!
Those back stairs. Hurry.
C'est toi?
Hurry, down those stairs.
Quelle surprise!
Dépêchez-vous, voyons. Non, 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 non. Adieu, adieu. You cannot see me tomorrow. Goodbye, goodbye. Adieu, adieu.
Mais je ne t'attendais pas, voyons.
Mais oui, je viens tout de suite. Entrez donc, mon ami.
Chut.
Come on in, Herbert. Crime short of seeing him run. He'll be off way down the blooming road to Calais in no time. And with his tie and collar off, he was an easy one. Not bad. A ring and a diamond stick pin. Not a chance of it. He's off to dear old London tomorrow. A few more hours like this, we'd be getting back there ourselves, I hear, but no business for us goes better here in Paris. Ah, of course this is a good day. Some 1,300 francs worth of diamonds, and me virtue intact. Oh, look, the bloke left his top hat and his cane and his gloves behind. I'll put them on. I say, Herbert, how's this for a sissy Loftus? Lend me a bomb till Monday, Herbert, my boy. I've got an horse, winner of course. Down at the track I'll pay you back, there'll be no hitch. So lend me a bomb and we'll get rich. Herbert, lend me a bomb and we'll get rich. Tiddle-dip-bop.
The color of Parisian nightlife in the 90s is preserved in the paintings and lithographs of Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec, strange, misshapen little creature who with his acid pencil captured for all time the essence of Montmartre. He loved the slatternly can-can dances, particularly the brazen blonde known as La Goulue, the glutton, queen of the Moulin Rouge. He had infinite sympathy for the sordid girls who inhabited the brothels of Paris. He made friends with them. One tawdry little strumpet he immortalized in a famous canvas was Berthe la Sourde, or Deaf Bertha. He painted her during an outing up the river he'd planned for her pleasure. And of course, his best-known series of portrait lithographs are those he made of Yvette Guilbert, the greatest of the artistic cabaret performers. He drew her countless times, drew her mercilessly, exaggerating her long nose, her mop of carrot-colored hair, her scrawny neck, the gestures of her lanky arms, swathed always in the famous long black gloves. The Paris of Lautrec was bawdy, vulgar, tragic, and colorful. And through him for us, it is still joyously alive.
jewel trick? I'm in the garden. Come on out. Well, Laurie, good morning or good afternoon or good whatever time of day it is. Oh, Lautrec, I feel awful. I'm trying to work off last night's champagne. Say, you look a little the worst yourself. For where, say? You were hitting it up at the Moulin last night. Sit down, friend. There's a bottle of cognac on the windowsill. Oh, Lautrec, my head. I don't think I'm going to live. I'll take a swig of that cognac.
I'll never make the Moulin tonight.
Ziedler can use his other dancers. Listen, if I do the splits feeling like I do, I'll never get up. I'll die. Stuck, split for broiling. They'll have to build a special coffin to bury me in. Oh, Henri, why do I drink so much? And why do I eat so much? And why do I... Scared you, didn't I? Say, that cognac helps. I think I'll have a little more help. Well, friend, what's on your mind? Oh, no, Henri, not today. I've got too thunder of God much of a hangover to pose. Ziedler can wait for his poster. Say, that cognac's good. I may even live. You know, you could be a pretty good painter, they all say, but holy name of a cucumber, look at the muck you paint. Me, I'm bad enough. But those girls, those public girls, they're awful. And that singer, what's her name, Yvette something? Yvette, now who'd ever want to hear songs coming out of a face like hers? Well, I'm no art critic, but your stuff. Oh, Lord, that cognac's good. Oh, listen, Lautrec. You know who dropped in at the Moulin last night after you'd left? Big Eddie. Sure you do. The Prince of Wales. You should have seen the commotion. The waiters falling over each other's cures. Ziedler bowing so low his beard was scraping the rosin off the floor. And the poor old prince, he doesn't want all that bilge. He's all right as Englishmen go, and they say he goes quite a way. I hear they call him Edward the Caresser. So I didn't know what I did. I waited until they got their champagne. Then I did a special turn right in front of their table. 5 speed pirouettes, 10 high kicks, 6 quick scissors, and a grande écart split with a bump, bump, bump flat on the floor. I was wearing my new fancy pants, you know, the ones with the red heart embroidered on the seat. So, after the third split, bump and bow, and oh, he's applauding like a kid from a lycée. I lean over the table and I say, "Hey, Wales, they say you wear your heart on your sleeve. Well, I wear mine." And I show him. Well, why not? Royalty, poor devils, they don't have much fun. It's nice to give them a little informality. Ziedler stared green. The Moulin Rouge gasped. You could hear the monocles falling like hailstones. Then Wales started to laugh. Laugh! I thought he'd bust a gut. Then he poured me out a drink, poured it out himself, and said, "A votre santé, la goulue!" If I don't get a raise from Ziedler after this, I'll move to the Balbulier, and Ziedler can take his red mill and throw his cap over it. Well, Henri, when I dance, I got the nerve to do anything. And when I dance at the Moulin, the mill is red, the air is blue, my petticoats are white, and it's the tricolore of France. Grand damn it, give me that bottle again. Hey, where'd that come from? Over my wall. A bunch of weeds. Some damn cushions throwing their trash into my garden, my nice little garden. Hey, listen, I'm going to climb up on that ladder and hey. Oh, holy St. Genevieve, it's a priest. Oh, Father, I'm sorry. I didn't know who I was. Ah, does my language shock your father? Ah, oh, isn't that awful? It just seems to come out of me like that. It's the damnedest thing. I'll try not to talk so bad. Ah, you're a nice curé. That's a fine little garden you got. Mine's coming along good, too. Step up on your ladder and take a look. Oh, wait a minute, Father, while I pull down my skirts. I've been entertaining a gentleman friend here, and that isn't what it sounds like either. See there, beans, leeks, parsley, escarole.
Next time I cook a soup, I'll hand you over a bowl. Because I can brew a hell of a good soup, Father. Because I love to eat. That's how I got my nickname, the Glutton. I'm the dancer, la Goulue, queen of the Moulin Rouge. And this is my friend, Monsieur Henri Lautrec. He may look like a performing dwarf, but he's a painter, a good one, too. Although I guess his pictures aren't the kind you'd find in most churches. You ought to stop by the Moulin some night, Father. Take in my act. At the Moulin, you get a hell of a lot of good material for a sermon. Oh, now, there I go with that language again. Say, listen, Father. How about reforming me? Every time you hear me using any bad language, I'll cook you soup. You will? Honest? Well, I'll start the stove right away. Say, listen, Lautrec. There's the calliope, your circus music on its way to the Cirque Medrano. Sounds good, doesn't it? Calliope, calliope, the rest of the fair can go jump in the sea. The horns can blow sweeter in any key, and strings can do more for a melody. Calliope, calliope, the sound of your voice means the springtime to me. From all of my troubles, you set me free, my beautiful circus, calliope.
What do you hear at the spring of the year when the circus comes to town? Giving a thrill that won't let you stand still, so you're dancing up and down. It's the circus, Calliope, the parade must be ready to go. Isn't it fun? Take my hand and let's run to the show.
Calliope, Calliope, the rest of the band can go jump in the sea. The horns can blow sweeter in any key, and strings can do more for a melody.
Calliope, Calliope, the sound of your voice means the springtime to me. From all of my troubles you set me free, my beautiful circus, Calliope.
She gives me a pain. All pickle nose. She doesn't know the first thing about running a decent establishment. Weather like this, even a sailor wouldn't come in till late 9 at night. Hey, Uncle! Give us that tune the dwarf likes. Little Henri Lautrec. You know, they say he's a genuine aristocrat. His father's a count. Why would he want to hang around here doing those crazy drawings? Us of all people. He did me last week putting on this black corset. He's cute, the dwarf. All the time I'm posing, he talks to me real nice. Not like the customers. Ah. The spring weather. What's today? Huh. Tomorrow's my birthday. Let me off, old pickle nose. I had a day off last week. My birthday, I'll be working. Who said that? Who said it would take my mind off my age? Was that from you, old Nini, or from you, grand-mère Fernand? Oh, sassy pants, am I? Listen to who's talking, Fernand, who's never had a pair of pants in her life. Watch it, Titi. Fernand's got her nail scissors open. Yeah, salvage, saloperie. Je te l'arrange, ta gueule, ta sale gueule. Putain, putain, morue, shut your dirty mouth. Here comes a customer.
Good evening, chérie.
You buy me a drink, mon petit coquin? What's the... Bert! My name is Bert.
I've been recommended, ça c'est au poil. You come with Bert, monsieur, n'est-ce pas?
A note now. Who'd be writing me a personal note? Fancy stationery, big. There's a crest on it. Oh, it's from the dwarf. Little Henri Lautrec. Mademoiselle, wishing to thank you for posing for my picture, Woman in the Black Corset,
which has turned out to be one of my best, and realizing that tomorrow is your birthday. I forgot I told him that. I am hereby inviting you to spend the day with me and two of my artist friends. Ah, oh, Pierre. I told you my birthday I'd be working. Wait a minute, wait a minute. Who are planning a day's outing along the river on a purely platonic basis. Just what does that mean I'll be called on to do? Honest? You mean he's not inviting me in a professional capacity? In case your charming madame is reluctant to allow you the day off, I shall be happy to settle the cost. My carriage will call for you and conduct you to the garden of Père Fauré, from whence we shall proceed up the river. Anticipating the honor of your company, and with the expression of my sentiments the most distinguished, I remain, he remains, your servant, Henri de Toulouse, Lautrec. Ah, do you think there's a catch in this? Neither do I. He's kindly, the dwarf, and always a gent even when he's drunk. My birthday, and a day off, spent respectably, and with an aristocrat. If only we'd run into Mama. A bite, a bite, I've got a bite. Oh, all the fish got away. Oh, Monsieur Lautrec, are you having fun too? You and your artist friends, where are they? Oh, there they are, up in the little terrace restaurant. Monsieur Edouard, Monsieur Maurice, ça va? Absinthe on a day like this, I'd rather fish. Thanks all the same. Oh, such gents. I never knew people who could talk so cleverly about things I don't know what they mean. And all the time treating me like I was a real lady. When Monsieur Maurice said my ankles were so pretty, he bet the rest of me was pretty too. And he never even started to find out. Oh, what a treat this day is. The sun, the river, and a forest without a fence or a gendarme. We had a river in Normandy. Ran right past our farm. Mama would do all the wash in it. We kids would help her, beating the linen on the stones. Oh, got it lovely and white. There was a forest, too, right back of the cottage. Real Normandy cottage. Thatched roof. Irises and poppies growing out of it. Hot days, it would steam like the straw in the cow barns. Mama would call for me to come help with the work. If it was something I didn't want to do, I'd run hide in that forest, pretend I didn't hear. And she'd call out, Bert. Bert, are you deaf? That's how I got my nickname, Deaf Bert. Oh, I loved that forest. Even if it did start me on what you might call my career. Oh, the same old story. Good-looking fellow said he'd marry me. A harvester. Hired from farm to farm. Then the wheat ripened, and so did I. And he ran off to Brittany. When I began to show, I ran off too. Oh, I couldn't have. You don't know my papa. Poor mama. She must have cried and cried. Dieu, I cried too. The baby was stillborn and... Oh, I don't know. I found a position in an establishment at Rouen. Why are we talking like this? It's my birthday. And I've got a bite. I've got a bite. Ooh, it's a big one. Do you think it's a shark? Then it's at least a carp. Ooh! Oh, little fish. Little fish. Oh, I could love this sweet little baby fish. A
and I love him so much. I'm going to throw him back in the river and let him have a day off, too. Now, what's so funny about that? You're laughing, too, Monsieur Lautrec. We don't laugh like that at... Oh. The sun's going behind the trees. In another hour, it'll be dark. Monsieur Lautrec, is your sketchbook handy? Do me one more favor. Do a sketch of me. Oh, I know you did that other one, but that was back at the house, and I was in my working attire. They say you're getting famous and your picture's coming out in the journals. This sounds crazy, but maybe someday Mama might come across my picture. Dressed up nice like I am today. And she'd think I was all right. And just in case, call it by my nickname, Deaf Bear. Oh, Monsieur Lautrec, you're an angel. And I kiss you. Only it's my day off. How do you want me? Full face or profile?
Monsieur l'accompagniste, where are you? It is I, Yvette Guilbert. Have you the music for tonight's new songs?
We have only a few minutes to rehearse, so let us start with the one by Aristide Briand, Saint-Lazare, the one about the prostitute's prison. Oh, it's pure Briand. You know what a sentimentalist he is. Some poor streetwalker ran into his cabaret the other night, pursued by the police. Briand tried to hide her, but the police found her and dragged her off to Saint-Lazare for the usual 30 days. A fellow, an apache named André, stood by watching her being put into the prison van. She cried out that she adored him, that she would write and send him any money she might make in prison. Oh, you know how the guards maltreat the girls but never pay them. The fellow merely pulled down his cap, lit a cigarette, and shuffled off to Louise Bar to find another girl to pay for his drinks. This is Briand's idea of the letter she will write from prison.
I hardly know how to begin, my poor André. My luck ran out, they threw me in. What can I say? I'll never know for 30 days just where you are. Can't send a soul, nobody pays. In Saint-Lazare. The thing that worries me is you, while I am gone. How can you live? What will you do? Can you go on? You'll buy your wine and pay your debt at Louise Bar. These are the things I can't forget.
In Saint-Lazare.
Who is that out there? Out there at the back of the house. So it is you who are spying on my rehearsal. Will you come up and show yourself? Or must I send for the porter to turn up the house gas? I am glad you have come by, because I have something to say to you, Henri de Toulouse-Lautrec. Bonsoir, mon ami. That is, if you are mon ami. Yes, I have seen the sketches. May I ask if they are meant to be likenesses? Bon Dieu, Henri, am I so horribly hideous? Is the purpose of a poster to attract or to repel?
Every night at the divan japonais, Yvette Gilbert. And you depict a grimacing scarecrow. No, I did not ask for any Boldini portrait. But I hardly expected a Daumier caricature. Little monster. Yes, just what you are in appearance. Oh, I'm sorry, Henri. Your audacity makes me forget your deformity. And who but you would have dared? For mon ami, then you are mon ami. After beholding myself through your diabolically impish eyes, I realize the poster is a work of art. And I have every intention of keeping it. My felicitations on a magnificent insult. It will prove my passport to immortality. Ah, no, mon ami du. Performers' names are written in water. 50 years hence, the name of Yvette Gilbert will live only in the catalogues of art dealers as one of Lautrec's favorite subjects. I'm quite willing to have such timelessness, as long as it is through your interpretation, your verve,
your humor,
and your suffering pity. Well, if you have your sketchbook with you, and I see you have, you may continue your outrageous immortalizing of myself. As you can see, we are in the midst of rehearsal. We have one more song to run through. It is called Madame Arthur, and I myself wrote the music. Madame Arthur est une femme qui fit parler dès le longtemps. Sans journaux, sans rien, sans réclame, elle eut une foule d'amants. Chacun voulait traiter mais d'elle, chacun la courtisait, pourquoi? C'est que sans être vraiment belle, elle avait un je ne sais quoi. Madame Arthur est une femme qui fit parler dès le longtemps. Sans journaux, sans rien, sans réclame, elle eut une foule d'amants. Madame Arthur est une femme qui fit parler dès le longtemps. Madame Arthur is all the rage, and every man from 9 to 89 calls her by name. You'd never see her on the stage, so what can be her claim to fame? You'd look at her and never guess that she's a femme fatale, no less. But since the men can't pass her by, she must have more than meets the eye. Madame Arthur is quite a belle. Financially, she must be just as rich as she can be. Just how she does it, who can tell? It's never been quite clear to me. She isn't beautiful at all. Her feet are big, her eyes are small. But there's no doubt when she passes by that she has more than meets the eye. You ought to see her at a ball. You ought to see the men line up and fight for every dance. Her skirt's the laciest of them all. And rumor says she wears no pants. Now by her partners it is said that she can keep above her head. They all go wild when she kicks high, for she has more than meets the eye. Madame Arthur, Madame Arthur, Madame Arthur, Madame Arthur.
That won't let you stand still, so you're dancing up and down. It's the circus alive, the parade must be ready to go. Isn't it fun?
fun. Take my hand and let's run to the show.
Calliope, Calliope, the rest of the band can go jump in the sea. The horns can blow sweeter in any key, and strings can do more for a melody.
Calliope, Calliope, the sound of your voice means the springtime to me. From all of my troubles you set me free, my beautiful circus, Calliope.
That was Paris 90, a solo production by Cornelia Otis Skinner, book by Miss Skinner, music and lyrics by Kay Swift, orchestra and chorus conducted by Nathaniel Shilkret, and orchestrations by Robert Russell Bennett. The second part of our presentation tonight, preceded by Anne Christine's operetta, Fifi.